No fear here. You know, don't let the fear mongers, because they're out there in full force. And they're the ones that jump on other people for fear mongering, and now they're fear mongering. And I'm going, Lord, you've not spoken to us anything. Why would we listen to fear mongers when you said in your word 365 times, one for every day of the year, to not fear, not to be afraid? What gives power to the enemy? Fear. You know, in 9 years since we've been doing what we've been doing, I do not remember one time that God has ever said anything about, well, you need to gear up, you need to be afraid, you better stock up, you better do this, you better do that. I have not heard one thing, not one thing. God knows everything. They know the little bit that their intel source gets from a little bit from their intel source, from a little bit from their intel source, and a little bit from their intel source. If it's true that only 10, really 7 out of 10, even, or 2 out of those 7, even know what the whole thing. But we know the one that lives in us that knows all of it. So don't listen to the fear. Because you know what? When we listen to fear, we get into care about ourselves, and then we begin to beat the air. That's what I'm going to talk about today, beating the air. All right, this is Sunday morning, 9/3/23. This is what the Lord spoke to me this week. This year has been a very intensified as far as attacks. And this is what the Lord spoke to me. He said, the physical attacks that you're experiencing are not from the inside, but it's from the outside. Most people think, oh, there's something wrong with me. Oh my God, I better get to the doctor, or whatever. And they're going like Chicken Littles, running here and there, trying to get help with what's going on, when it's outside attacks, not inside attacks. I mean, if we believe that by the stripes of Jesus we were healed, he took it on the cross, on his back, before he went to the cross, if we believe that, then why would we be questioning, well, this isn't just right. I just don't feel right. We have an adversary. And he's targeting our flesh. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, the weapon of our warfare isn't carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, thought processes. That's where he hits you, to make you think he's a liar. He can't tell the truth, even if his life depended on it. He can't. Jesus said he was the father of lies, and he can't tell the truth. And neither can his bunch. So all he can do is distort God's truth, spin the truth, like with Eve. Hath God said? Get her to question God and what he said. The physical attacks that you're experiencing are not from the inside, but from the outside, even though they feel. Well, where's your feelings, your soul? I remember Brother Copeland saying this, and he's right on, that pain is actually a thought. All right, our walk with God is in the Spirit. Our walk with God is not in the flesh. That's why you see so many Christians that don't have answers and don't know what to do. It's because they have not learned to walk from the inner man. That's where God dwells in us. They haven't learned to walk from in here. They walk from all their circumstances. Everything's happening all the time. They react all the time, like a volcano, all the time. They live their lives in total reaction mode, from birth till death. Just watch them. Every little thing that happens is like a major catastrophe, and they have to have an answer. So they run to the experts who ain't got a clue. All right. Satan operates against us in the flesh realm. He wants us to get over to the flesh so we cannot be effective against him. He knows that your weapons, that your spiritual weapons will kick him out. He knows how strong you are in God, and he doesn't want you to know it, because if you know it, he's lost his whatever. The strong man has lost his place in you, and he has to pack up his goods and get off of your ground. And see, the battle is the things that come against us in our senses. That's the hard part. Is not succumbing to that. And recognizing it for what it is, and just going, we see how Paul Lord get this off of me to shake. It wasn't overnight. It was a process. I don't know. They say Paul was in his 90s when he died. And I don't know how old he was whenever he came to know the Lord, when God knocked him off his donkey, gave him an ultimatum. I don't know. Maybe he had 50 years of ministry. That's probably pretty accurate. So we're talking about, in the Bible, it's easy to think, well, it happened last week, and then this week this happened, and the next day this happened. But really, we're talking years. Years. I know John on the Isle of Patmos, it's evident that Paul was already gone for God to impart to him the apostleship over the churches of Asia. And I've heard John was about in his 90s in that particular situation, or what I've read. So this stuff does not happen overnight. To learn this sometimes takes years. I know it has for me, learning years to learn. And, you know, I can't say I've got it perfected. Doing a lot better than I used to, thank God. All right. He knows that if you know that he's a goner. It's just like going through a spook house. We may all have different spook houses, but it's the same spook house. It's all the evil one and his lies and his tricks. What did he do to Eve? He tricked her out of what God had given her, said to her, by twisting the truth. Like I mentioned, I guess it was last week, about Brother Hagin. You know, here he was healed, completely healed of this blood disease and this malformed heart, all of this. He was healed on the bed of sickness. He's about 17, I think. It was like a year and a half on a sick bed. So he went, got into bed at 15 and I guess raised up at 17. But the thing was, all of his life, he had times where that would try to come back on him. And the devil would say, well, the Lord ain't going to heal you this time. That's why when he said, I just started laughing because I knew I'm already healed. I know whenever the camp meetings, I think it was 89, where, I forget his name, said the Lord's going to give you 15 more years. And I don't know if it came out in that or if it was one of his books, that his arm was, it'll be okay if I don't get it right. That his arm had been numb for 6 months. So I'm thinking, God, from 17 to, Brother Hagin was in his, probably close to 80 at that time. I don't know. I don't remember. 89? I don't know. He died in 2003 at what, 87? 86. Okay. So we can see here, the devil never stopped trying to get him to succumb to his lies. And they are lies. Because he can't tell the truth. Do you understand? He can't. It's not that he chooses not to. He can't. He can't. So, you know, whatever he's trying to scare you with, you have to look at it like, well, it has to be a lie because I know where it's coming from. And then on the other side of that, God is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So, truth. God cannot lie. The devil cannot tell the truth. God cannot lie. So you know when God's told you something, he ain't lying. And he's never going to lie. So you can depend on that. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. But I keep my body under and bring it into subjection, lest it by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. In other words, he said, I don't just preach it, I teach it and preach it, I do it. I don't beat the air. What's beating the air? It's all of these outward things that people do because they don't know how to engage the power of God. Either they've not been taught or they don't know how. It's obvious they don't know how. They don't know how to walk by the Spirit. They don't know how to listen to what's going on the inside as opposed to what's going on the outside. There's a whole church, whole bunch of people in the body of Christ that are so untaught, it's just a shame. Anyway, I'm thinking, what are they being taught? Nothing. Nothing of consequence. If you're going to church and you are meeting, if you're going to meetings or whatever, and you're not, it's not helping you to overcome, then I'd say you're in the wrong place. If you go in and you're as bad as when you come out, you're the same way. I know it takes time to grab a hold of teaching and let it work in your life. I know that it does. But on the other side of that, if you've been going to church for, say, 40 years and you still couldn't blow fuzz off of a peanut, there's something wrong. All right, Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16. This I say then, verse 16, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, how do we walk in the Spirit? Well, first of all, we listen to what he's saying. Wouldn't you say that, you know, how do you walk? By instruction, okay. So if you're listening to the Holy Spirit about things, then you're not going to walk in the flesh, right? You're going to walk in the Spirit. Whatever he says to you, do it. And how Jesus said, didn't his mother say, whatever he says to you, do it. Yeah, whatever he says to you, do it. He said, Mom, why are you heaping this on me? What am I supposed to do? If the Father doesn't give me anything, I can't do anything. He said, whatever he says to you, do it. And for think this rut that seemed like just a few minutes, he said, go fill the pots with water. Bear it to the governor. And as they went, yeah. So walking by the Spirit is listening to what the Spirit says and doing what the Spirit says, right? As opposed to listening to your emotions and your flesh. And doing what your emotions or your flesh say. Let me read this again. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. See, it's a war. Rah, 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 rah. Devil, kind of like the old cartoon, devil on one shoulder, the angel on the other. So don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Yes, do it, do it, do it, do it. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so you cannot do the things that ye would. So in other words, like Matthew 6 says, you can't serve two masters. You'll either serve one or the other. You'll either go the way of the flesh or you'll go the way of the Spirit. But if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So, if we say we want to walk by the Spirit and we are giving into the flesh, then all these things come into play. One's going to null and void the other. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, all this fear-mongering we're hearing, even from Christian truthers here, that's not in the Spirit. God is in control. I've heard that so much. God is in control. God is in control. Then why are you fretting? Why are you saying you better go stock up? You better go do this. You better go do that. Oh, something horrible is coming. You know what? They never tell you what the horrible thing is. I'm thinking, why don't you just all shut up? That's because I'm tired of hearing about it. You either tell us. We're big people. We're grown people. Tell us or shut the heck up. I'm tired of it. I don't want to hear them anymore. Don't tell me, because everything you said for all the months I've listened to you ain't never come to pass anyway. Unless this is part of the scare event. Just to get you all worked up, try to get somebody. But you know what the thing is? It ain't them people that are asleep that are listening to them. It's the people that already know. Well, you can tune into Faith Avenue and I'm going to tell you the truth. Okay? How about that? I'm not going to mince words. If the Father tells me, I'm going to tell you. See, that's the problem I have. Can they be called truthers? I think they're fear-mongers. Patriots. Not all, but some. P-A-Y. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. See, if we're doing these things in the flesh, it's going to be real hard for us to walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another or envying one another. All right, go over to Ephesians 6. I've read this so much, we probably mumble it in your sleep. I hope so. Being armed is mindset. The armor of God is a mindset. Right here, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. That's going to be in His in your spirit, in the spirit man. And that spirit man is going to overtake those thoughts in your mind, because your mind is renewed to the power that you have with that armor. Okay? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. If you don't do that, you can't even stand. You cannot stand against the devil. You're not going to win against a renegade spiritual entity in your flesh. You will not. You just might as well give up now. Either you arm yourself for warfare and you get in that mental stance and you do your business, or you won't. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. They're after your mind. Powers against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's why we have 24/7 commode flushing going on all the time. They keep flushing and pumping it out to the masses, the fear mongering. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That's your mind right there. having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And here I think is the kicker. This is the key to the whole thing. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This is where we gird up our mind. We engage the Spirit. See, when the devil comes, you don't engage the flesh, you engage the Spirit. It's like walking a tightrope. It really is. I can't hardly watch somebody do it, especially that one that's doing it on that Empire State Building or whatever it was. They were walking between the buildings, you know that movie? That freaked me out. That's tightrope. Anyway, these weapons are not carnal. It's not going to help you. All your worrying and your fretting and your stewing and looking at the lies is not doing anything but exhausting you. Can I get an amen? It's the truth. It just exhausts you. It just keeps you weary. Okay, 2 Corinthians 10. You knew I had to read this, right? 2 Corinthians 10. Verse 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And what does it say? Just what I read to you in Ephesians 6. Casting down imaginations. See, you got your loins girt about with truth. So you're not moved by these imaginations. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. God says you're well. The imagination says you're not. But I feel. Who? Well, so what? You feel. So what? Against the knowledge of God, in bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is how you do successful warfare. You have to be prayed up, and you have to be mentally stable. I'll just say that, mentally stable. Because the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know, when the trial comes, he goes to pieces instead of going to his prayer closet. Yeah. All right, we live in this world. We have a flesh, body of flesh to contend with, but we cannot do warfare with it. It must be done in the Spirit. You can fight till you fall over dead in the natural, and many do, through whatever means that they choose. Now, if you're praying in the Spirit and the Lord tells you to go to a certain institution or certain thing in the world, then you're free to do that. That's in the Spirit, okay? The Lord told Jesus, go through Samaria. He wanted him to minister to that woman that day. So it's not that we don't use our flesh. We use it for the glory of God. We go where God tells us to, and when he instructs us to do something, to give somebody a word or whatever it is, by his instruction. Just like fill the water pots with wine. Or with water, yeah. You can't help yourself, can you? He's got to be telling me, you did that wrong, did that wrong. It's all right. I need the correction, Lord knows. Anyway, we live in this world, so we have to operate in this world. We do not do the things of the world, though. We follow the Spirit. And he'll help us motivate in our world and stay in the Spirit. Okay? Get that. God knows we need help with every dilemma that we find ourselves in. That's why, You know, even Paul struggled. This is in Romans 7 and 8. We'll look over there. Start with verse 1 there. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth? For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. The law was just a bunch of outside, external things that they did to, it was like a, because they walked under the law, they were considered righteous, you know what I'm saying? But it was just a bunch of external, it was really just dead works is what it was. That ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. How do we bring fruit unto God? It's not by walking in the flesh. It's by walking in the Spirit. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Like I said, God really didn't want them to walk like, they wanted them, the children of Israel, to walk like Abraham. Abraham walked by faith. He wasn't under the law. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. In the commandment which is ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. That do I. In other words, the law couldn't really change anything. It could tell you that you're in sin, but you had no power to do any better. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. See, all these just outside external things that seem to be holy and good give you no power to be an overcomer. No power. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. See, it can't change you. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. See, I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. See what I mean? It's a tightrope. Try not to go back under the law. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So the law kept them reminded continually of their shortcomings. But no power. No power to get out of it. It was a constant reminder in their faith. Well, they ignored God and what He wanted for them, so He gave them something that was impossible. They couldn't keep it. Nobody else would be expected to either. They couldn't do it. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It's impossible to be a Christian and be successful and an overcomer and walk in the flesh. You cannot. For that, there are they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. See, all their solutions are going to be all external. They're not going to be internal. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. I'm telling you that what's coming right now is going to shake up the church like never before. Because they're so used to taking... I heard this a few days ago, and I'm thinking, nah, you didn't just say that. All these new technologies coming. Well, they're just saying, well, you know, Jesus walked on water, talking about time travel. Jesus did this, Jesus did that. Jesus healed, Jesus all this. It wasn't by these extraterrestrial entities giving us extra knowledge. That's what they were equating. Well, you know, Jesus, making it look like, well, you know, the chariot there over there in Ezekiel, that was ETs, you know, that was a time machine, that was this and that. No, it wasn't. There's a big difference between God and His power and extraterrestrial power. Med beds, frequencies, time travel, space-time continuum, all this stuff that's been projected to us through movies, that's not God's power. When I heard that, I thought, you've got to be kidding. But isn't that what's going on now? I know someone that quit listening to me because they were afraid I was going to take their medicine away from them, telling them they couldn't go to a doctor. You know, either you're going to walk in the Spirit or you're going to walk in the flesh. Because what's in between? Nothing. That's what it is. Double-minded. Let not that man think that he will receive anything. Well, God used that doctor. God used that. God, did He? Really? Now, if you're with somebody and they don't know about those kind of things, and you go to prayer and the Lord says go to a doctor, then you're in the Spirit. But just to even make that statement, I'm going, Lord, we're further gone than I thought. And these are people that pretend they know everything. They're up on the upper end. They're those that tell you, yeah, horrible things are coming, but I can't tell you what they are. I'm thinking, what good are you? At least God tells us right up front. He'll let us know. He tells us what's going on. He tells us what He's going to do. He's there for our good. He's our protector. He's our helper. No, these frequencies and all these extra knowledge technologies come right out of the book of Enoch. They're all listed in the book of Enoch, which was taken out by King James, by the way. He took it out of the Bible. So, you know, King James wasn't all that woof. You know, we thought it was, but he ain't. He's a cabal. The crown. Khazarian. Phoenician. Elite bloodline. Boy, that's gonna bend some people out of shape right there. So then, they that are after the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by a Spirit that dwelleth in you. Don't you think he knows how to take care of you? Right here. He'll quicken your mortal body. God has a total different system than what we've been raised under. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. This isn't it. This isn't the natural kingdom. And that's where, again, the church falls all over it. They think, you know, like with the apostles, for instance. They just, yeah, they're the missionaries. They go out there and build churches. You know, and that's all you, that's the last time you ever see them, you know, or hear from them. No, that isn't true. It's a spiritual house. This whole walk in the Spirit, this whole thing, this new covenant right here is all here. Here, 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 not here, here, here. Now, if you're doing here, it'll take care of here. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Yeah, you may suffer in your flesh, but in this inside you are glorified. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Man, am I ready. I'm so ready to break off this old religious garbage that we've been drugged through. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. See, the devil don't want you finding out how free you are. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. There ain't nobody out there going to give you any hope. God's the one that gives us hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Now this is my key here for this teaching this morning. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And because of that will, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. When we're walking from the inside, then we can expect God's will to be fulfilled in our lives. That's what he's doing. He's praying, interceding within us. When we come to these places where we have problems we cannot overcome and we cannot seem to find a solution, that's when you engage the helper. That's why he came. That's why he was sent. Jesus said, I'm going away, but the Comforter will come. Now that one place, he said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Did Jesus walk in the flesh? No way. Did he have flesh? Yes, but he followed the Spirit. To be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That'd be us. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Nobody. Nobody. You're fortified, strong on the inside. Then nothing out here can. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All your answers are on the inside. All of your answers. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Here we got the Holy Spirit interceding through us, and Jesus is interceding. It's like a chain reaction all the way to heaven. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, and all these things, that's what they wanted to do to us, like sheep to the slaughter. Nay, and all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When you got that connection, nothing can separate it. Nothing out here can separate it. Nothing. Confidence. Talk about walking in confidence and victory. Our fight is within, and our strength is within. I mean, the fight comes to us out here, but our power to overcome that is within. When you think you got to pick up a fist to do something or a means to do something, think again. Lord, I know this might work and it might be a temporary fix, but what is your solution to this? I want to be rid of this, right? I want to be rid of this forever. All right, Jude. I'm telling you. This is Jude 20 and 21. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So if you're walking in your love walk and you're staying tuned into the Spirit, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, you're going to do well. Right here, these be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. See, they're mockers. Those are the ones that are mocking God's Word. You could not have an inside walk and speak the things that they speak and embrace the things they're embracing and saying it's God. They're equating God's reset. You know, they didn't do that when they came out of Egypt. They had physical silver and gold. God brought them out by, you know, miracles. But all this other stuff that they've added to it, that's not God. They can take it and shove it with their artificial intelligence with it. You know what I'm saying? Who needs your stuff? We don't need that stuff. All we need is God. Like I said, Ricardo Bossi, when he was saying, what's all this multiple God stuff? He said, only the two will do for me are the three, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He said, that's all we need in Australia. It's always worked, and that's what we're going to stay with. He put that other guy in his place. He just kind of made a face. But I thought, That's what we have to do. We have to stand up and say, no, that other is, you're not hearing right on that. Do you pray in the Holy Ghost? Maybe you need to get in your closet and pray in the Holy Ghost and break through that. That's wrong. I mean, when will you ever get that opportunity? But it would be nice, to do so. They just probably blocked me off their channel. But anyway, all right, let's keep going. Paul was given a messenger in the flesh. We're going to look at that. This is 2 Corinthians here. Chapter 12. Verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelation that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul had a lot of things come against him, but he said also, I pray in tongues more than all of you. When we pray in the Spirit, I believe grace is engaged. So he said, I'd rather glory in my infirmities. What was he saying? I'd rather have the grace of God come on me and me be able to do these things with Christ in me than to be built up in my flesh or do something in the flesh. It seems clear here that without this thorn, the power, signs, and wonders would not be there. Why? Paul engaged the Holy Spirit. That's where the signs and the wonders came from. From within. It wasn't from without. A lot of people talk about, the anointing within, and Brother Hagin even talked about the anointing within and the anointing without. Well, if you don't have it within, you're not going to have it without. Because you don't have any power. You don't have any steam. You don't have anything to help you. The tank is dry. So what do? Build up your most holy faith. Well, I think I'll go work out, but it isn't with barbells. Praying in the Holy Ghost. All right. Oh, goodness. 1 Corinthians 14. Keep engaged with me, okay? All right, this is 14:18. This is just what I said to you. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. A lot of people think Paul said, no, you're not supposed to speak in tongues, because he was correcting excesses in the church. Like if an unbeliever comes in and all of you are speaking in tongues, you'll think you're mad, That type of thing. So they take that out of context. Okay, the next one is verse 39 of this same chapter. He said, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. And then he says, let all things be done decently and in order. That's how you get that decency and in order, by the Spirit. Jesus knew how it was going to be for us, and he spoke to his disciples about it before he went away. This is in John chapter 14, about the helper. Verse 1 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth we know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So what is he talking about? This is how Jesus walked with the Father. And now that's the way we walk. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode in him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you because ye present, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. So this is the way Jesus walked. This is the way we walk. He sent us the Comforter so we could walk just like he walked. Okay, with that, turn to chapter 16, verse 6. Because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. When he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot hear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. See, you don't have to be concerned about hearing the wrong thing. He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. So we're still all connected. One's just with the Father. All right? Comforter here means an intercessor or a consoler. I like that, consoler. So he is our direct link to the Father and the Son. You know, I think about, you know, when Peter denied the Lord, what did Jesus say? Peter, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. See, that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. When we're in a place where we're failing, he'll take hold together with us, interceding. We know Jesus is our high priest and intercedes, but right here, the Holy Spirit, it says he's interceding in us, and Jesus is also interceding for us before the Father. So when we engage in signs, we can't lose. We were talking about yesterday about the three strand cords not easily broken. Well, you, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, I mean, that's even more powerful. I mean, it's unbeatable. Okay, I don't know why people run about. They just don't know. It's evident they just don't know that that's what you're supposed to do. They think this is the way we've all done it. If this happens, we do this. If this happens, we do that. They don't know. No one's taught them how to do it. I'm thankful the Holy Spirit's taught me how to do it and taught y'all how to do it. But we had to come out of the system basically to learn that. Yeah. All right, Acts 1:8. This is when Jesus is fixing to go back. And he says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. All right? Acts chapter 2, verse 17. Now we have Peter here that denied the Lord. But when he got power, he didn't deny the Lord anymore. Right here, 2:17. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad, moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life, thou shalt make me full of joy with my countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he should raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. So here he is. I think it was 3,000 saved. In a few days, there's 5,000. Power. Power. He didn't have it before. Force and miraculous power. That's what power means. Force and miraculous power. It's the power to overcome. Zechariah 4:6, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. You know, there's a reason he poured out his spirit upon his sons and daughters, so we'd have power. Power to overcome, power to take the gospel. Okay. I don't know how people that do not have the infilling with the Holy Spirit do it. I really don't. Because they don't have any help. They're saved. They love God, but they don't know about this is where the real power lies within you. All right. Oh. I was thinking about, and I wrote this down and right here about Jesse Duplantis. Now, I've heard people say, and so much of the time we see people that do ministries and stuff based on their talents. Well, Jesse Duplantis was a rock singer, and he said, God doesn't use him in the music ministry. That's what he did in his flesh. That's what he wanted to do. But in the spirit, he don't do that. So you cannot gauge that. I heard people say that. Well, I have dreams all the time. That has to be God. I'm going, well, no. Could be all that crap you watch all Lifetime or something, you know? See, God selects. God gives giftings where there's a calling. God imparts gifts to that calling, and it's not probably what you've done your whole life. I would say it's probably the opposite of what you've done your whole life. Now, we know Paul, he was a tent maker just to make money, just to be able to have food to eat. He made tents. But that wasn't his calling. That wasn't his real job. That was just to keep him from starving. Right? All right, we're going to look at that a minute. Makes sense to me that God has his own idea about things. We have just taken the things of God and we have applied natural things to it and called it God. Instead of tapping in and listening and getting the real God, the real thing. I can't blame the people that don't know any better. Now, the ones who do, yes, I can. One thing I noticed about Paul, when he went to Jerusalem, he didn't confront Peter. He didn't say anything derogatory. He walked softly. But when Peter came on his turf, he reamed him out. You're on my turf now, and you ain't going to put up, we ain't put that you junk here. Think about that. When you're in somebody else's turf, you walk soft. But when you're on your turf, you stand strong. Because that's what God's given you. All right, for whatever that's worth. All right, we're going to look at a few scriptures here. Romans 3. I said I have a lot of scriptures today. 3 verse 20. Think about it. We go to church. I know, church we went to. You take all these tests to qualify you for service in the. Is that God placing? Or is that just because you have this talent, we're going to use you in this area? Is that God? Is it really? All right, 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Just because you're good at something don't mean that's God's in it, okay? I think we have misconstrued that to think that if we grow up doing something, that's where God's going to use us. I think not. I think he's going to use you to do things because I've always been beat down and made to feel inferior from every sector. And my God calling was suppressed. So I just had to take it. I was in situations where I had no choice. I just had to take it. Until God started showing me who I was, and his gifting started coming out of me and him starting to show me who I really am in him, I'm not subject to that anymore. You understand what I'm saying here? A lot of things we do in life is just because we have to. I think people get that confused. I think that's why we get in the flesh. It's because we get that confused. Well, it must be God, you know. You know, Everything good is God. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. I heard someone say that. Well, you know, it has. If it's God, if it's good, it has to be God. No, it doesn't. Now, if God's in it, it is good, but not everything that's good is God. Think about that. All right, Romans 8. We read that already, but I want to read just a little bit again. God's way is to take the person that He has called, if possible, off the scene, out of their element, and start from scratch. Get rid of all the junk. Everything that's covered over your true giftings that God has put in you from your birth, from your mother's womb. And then through the process of time, the layers of all that junk of the world comes off of you, and then you begin to see who you really are in Christ. You begin to learn how to walk by the Spirit and hear God. Not the experts, but God. Because His ways are totally different. See, this, the Helper, He helps us to know who we are and what we have. That's why He's there. All right. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is key. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. We're walking in the flesh naturally, but we're not following the flesh. We're following the Spirit. When a person gets a hold of that, like I said, there's nothing, nobody could beat it out of you. You can always trust that. Always. All right, let's keep going here. 1 Corinthians 26. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 1, 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. In other words, it's not from your education or your brainwashing, whichever one you want to call it. Same thing. Same thing. Having the mind of Christ, your education from God, not of the world system. So that's what hampers us. That's what keeps us from going forward, is all the junk that we've been infiltrated with through television and public schools and all of those different things, even preachers. Hope you see that. All right, go to Galatians now, Galatians chapter 1. You know, the body of Christ is, it's time for some meat, I guess. This is meat this morning. This is meat. How are we going to grow? I mean, we can desire the sincere milk of the Word all of our life, but there's going to be a time where we're going to have to start eating a little meat, be able to digest some of those things so we can grow spiritually. All right, let me look at my, what I wrote down here. All right, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. I can truly say that about my call. It ain't by man. Because every man that ever knew that I had something going on didn't seem to be too favorable or too helpful. Not blaming them. They're just about like anybody else. They've been indoctrinated also. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Isn't that what we've been saying and confessing? Lord, thank you for delivering us from evil. According to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. This is that fleshly gospel I'm talking about. You know, you can't find God. You don't know how to tap into his power, so you don't have any power. So we just call this God and this God and that God. That must be how he's going to do it now. God don't need physicians. He doesn't. And I'm not saying there's not any godly physicians, because there are. And like I said, wherever we are in our walk, God will use, let us use things. Because some people, they're just not going to ever get it to help them out. You understand? And there's going to be a lot of people coming out of a lot of things. And they're going to be in an in-between state. All right, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven preaching another gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. You're just getting a glimpse this morning of what's the way it's going to be. This 1,000-year reign, this is the way it's going to be. We were talking about it yesterday. You know, you can remove all the evil right now, but you're still going to have the minds of men that are in unrenewed. I'll just say it that way, unrenewed. They're still going to have to hear the word to renew their mind to the kingdom of God and the ways of the kingdom, right? And we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that we have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. See, Paul knew he stood before God and all this other stuff. He couldn't allow it. That's why he brought the correction. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceeding zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Now here he was, stooped in the law, the Pharisee of the Pharisees, and now he gets knocked off his donkey. And Jesus has a confrontation with him that day and said, you either get it right or you're out of here. And so Paul says, I think I'll conform. So he's opposite. He's going opposite against the way he was raised and everything that he did. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. See, he was called from his mother's womb to do what he's doing for Jesus. But because he didn't know any better, he thought it was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. To reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. God wants to train you for whatever he has called you from your mother's womb to do. There's nobody that's not been called. Nobody. God don't make pew sitters. He didn't raise up Well, I won't say it that way. Everyone has something that God has called them to do. Everyone. Now, not everyone finds out what that is and does it. But that's the truth. Neither went up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again into Damascus. In other words, he's not going up there to the rest of the apostles and start correcting them. He walked softly. Even though they were not of the circumcision, uncircumcision, or the circumcision anymore. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other the apostles saw none save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. So Paul, he had to go through his training process, be deprogrammed, be trained into what God wanted him to do. He walked softly. Like I said, he confronted Peter. This is when the Gentiles could become involved, and then that was his jurisdiction. He said, oh no, that ain't happening here. You see that? That's Galatians chapter 2, the very next chapter. Right here. What? Verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face. I can just imagine. Because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. That's Paul's partner. See, the little leaven was leavening the whole lump here. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. We can do nothing without the power of God. Nothing. Okay. Now you understand the church today. There's an order right here. I wrote these orders down. Being born again, being baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit and with power, renewing the mind process to know God's will, and then receiving the grace to do God's will. The church should be a training center. It really should. I mean, it's made to train disciples and then sending them out, letting them go out, and even if it's in your own city. The gospel doesn't just mean go to Africa or some other place. It means, like I've said before, wherever the places God sends you to and you frequent, let that become your mission field. Always be listening. If he doesn't say anything, then don't do anything. But if he says something, then do something. Right? All right, it'll be by the power of the Holy Ghost and not just by flesh and blood. All right. God has endued us with power to overcome whatever we face when we're in His will. Whatever we face when we're in His will. We've established that the Comforter is the power source. If you're out of power, then it's time to refuel by praying in the Holy Ghost. Your power cannot come from your flesh, stamina, healthy diet, etc., only by the Holy Ghost. That's your power station. Yep. All right. Romans 8:11, I read it a while ago. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell on you, He will quicken your mortal body. Right here, it means to revitalize. When you're worn out, you've expanded your energy, then you've got to refuel. There's been times where I was going through really heavy testing, and the only relief I could get was just go Pray in the Spirit. Jude says, building up your most holy faith, like pumping iron. But it's in the Spirit. All right? So what are you going to do when you find yourselves lacking? You're going to call in the Helper. Romans 8. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows the problem. He knows what to do. He starts to intercede for us. All right, now remember this. It's like, this is Matthew. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 11. I remembered what C. Peter Wagner was talking about when he was talking about the draft horses. Y'all remember that? Like one horse could pull a certain amount of weight, another horse could pull another bit, but together they could pull really more weight than, you know. That's what the Holy Ghost does. He's like the draft horse that comes up alongside, hooks up with you to put you over when you're in distress, when you're tired, when you're weak, whatever you need. All right, this is Matthew 11, 29. Jesus said, 28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the way I see the Holy Spirit. He's hooking up with us, yoking up with us, so our burden is light. The yoke is easy, the burden is light, when two, okay, are doing it together. Yoke here means a coupling or the beam of balance. In other words, it redistributes the weight. The weight you're under, the pressure you're under, it redistributes it. All right, this is how the Helper helps. He reinforces in the area in which we are struggling. He comes alongside to fortify us in our situations. Just like Jesus prayed for Peter. I talked about that a while ago, but we're going to look at it. This is Luke 22. Verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So Jesus is ever making intercession for us. The Holy Ghost comes and hooks up with us and prays through us, you know, with yearnings and groanings. That's what the scriptures say. Here's the different ways. This is what the Helper does for us. He makes the burden easy, the yoke light. Infirmities in the Strong's. Infirmities means feebleness of body or mind. Malady or frailty, that's sickness or weakness. And how does he do it? Through intercession. That's Romans 8, 27. What is intercession? Confer with, to entreat in favor or against, to deal with. He helps you deal with. How many times have you thrown up your hand and said, I can't deal with this anymore. Lord, I can't deal with this. Guess who will help you deal with this? The Helper. All right, groanings. It means a sign. A sign of what? The Holy Spirit has taken hold with us to pray through the problem or the assignment. Have you ever been praying and your spirit language maybe changes or you feel kind of like a tug of war going on? There's that kind of groaning, you know. I remember the old Pentecostals, it was groaning in the Spirit. You know, they'd be praying through and they'd be groaning in the Spirit and they would be working things out in the Spirit, groaning, giving birth to things and all kinds of stuff. You don't hear that anymore. All right? He is totally sympathetic with you just as you are when you intercede for someone else. He's praying for you like you pray for somebody else. The Lord gives me people to pray for all the time. Some people instructs me to do things. Some people I never know what the reason. See, intercessors. I remember a church we went to. The pastor's wife evidently had been hurt a bunch. Just congregation people, just treated her badly, and she just was really struggling with all of that. And she said she went to praying in the spirit, and she prayed, and I don't know how long she prayed, but she said, I prayed till it's like my head came up out of a well. And I've never forgotten that, because that's kind of like when you're burdened down with something and you've got to have an answer. Well, pray till your head clears the well. That's all I know to say. When you find yourself in the pit of despair, pray till your head comes out of that pit, all right? Or the cliffs of insanity, whatever you want to call it. I mean, really, that's what the help is for, to help us in these areas. All right, I want to read Psalms 40 to you. Verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Yeah. All right, that's the heart of Jesus here. One more passage of scripture and we'll be done. Matthew chapter 12. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. And he said unto them, Have you not read what David did when he was a hungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. If ye had known what this meaneth, I would have mercy and not sacrifice. Ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will ye not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then said he unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. He stretched it forth, and he was restored whole like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and had a council against him, how they might destroy him. There's a difference between the flesh and the spirit right there. Jesus is all about helping us, getting us out of those pits that we find ourselves in. Religion will say, but not Jesus. He's about getting us well, getting us whole, restoring the man. Okay. No more beating the air. No more taking the arm of the flesh and doing stuff. Let's pray in the Spirit. We've got help. All right.